The story of Joseph is one of my favorites in the Bible, and whenever I hear a sermon on it, I take special notice because it's so wonderful. I've been blessed by it every time I read it. And Sam Rockwell is the inspiration behind this message when I heard him bring this message. And it's about Joseph's dream, his struggle, and the story of his promotion. And we learn a lot from his life, but I've heard in the message a new twist that I'd like to share with you. We all know the story, I'm sure, of Joseph and how he was the favorite son of Jacob, and how he was persecuted by his brothers for his sharing the dream of his heart that God had placed there, how that he would be a ruler, and that they understood very well that it was aimed at them, and even he shared his dream to his father that the whole clan would be bowing down to him and in subservience. And we know, I question whether it was wise for him to tell that dream to his brothers at that point. He was a 17-year-old lad, and we know that Mary had a dream, the mother of Jesus, and she had a different approach to that dream. She kept these things hidden in her heart, and she kept them kind of bottled up and tucked away until the appropriate time. But it's kind of says to me that whether you say, speak out the dream, or whether you tuck it in your heart, and God is big enough to bring the dream to fulfillment. And I believe that God has placed dreams in our hearts that are yet to be fulfilled, and the Lord wants us to keep tight hold on those dreams that God has put in our hearts. But we know that how Joseph was sold into slavery, how he went down to Egypt, and how he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and how he suffered unjustly in the dungeon, in the prison. And for years he had his dream squashed, as it were, the realization that possibly his dream would never come to pass. But Joseph held on. And the point I want to bring out is that Joseph became a supporter of the dreams of others. When others had dreams and they shared them, he interpreted the dreams with the Lord's help. And he was there for them, trying to promote their dreams, trying to promote them, and even at his own expense. And it was a thankless job because the cupbearer got out, and he was promoted and forgot to tell the Pharaoh that he had received the message from Joseph. But so he struggled and struggled, but he was careful to give God the glory. The issue here at stake is that your problem is someone else's solution. Your problem might be the very solution. What is the weakest area of your life? What is that place you struggle with? God wants to use that very point as a point of encouragement for others, and that we don't have to run away from our weakness and our struggle and our questioning, our doubt, our fears. If we're open about it, if we're transparent about that area of weakness, God wants to use that very issue to be someone else's solution. So my problem is someone else's answer. I'll give you an example. One of the biggest issues in myself is, even though it's been vindicated over and over again, that God has placed his hand upon me to do certain things. At certain points in my life, I've questioned my own calling, my own ministry calling before the Lord. And Of course, you know, Lord, there are other people much more qualified, much more talented, much more gifted than myself. But how is it that you've placed me where you have, where you've brought me? And I've questioned my own calling at times, but I've been able to use that point of weakness to share with others, to encourage others, that the Lord, if he can use me, he can certainly use you. And so that I've used that point to encourage others, that point of weakness and doubt in my own self and my own calling before the Lord. Another area of doubt is how I know how, without the love of the Lord in my heart, without the restraints, without the fear of God in my life, how bad I could possibly be. And that kind of scares me to know how depraved and how wicked we all can be, but how that without the love of the Lord, what course I could possibly take. And so that point becomes an encouragement to others when I share with them how the Lord, how he can use them as well. Another lesson we learn from Joseph is that you don't get promoted alone. You get promoted together. And we need to create a network of trusted friends and colleagues in our work in the Lord and elsewhere as we go forward in him. So we need to create a trusted network of people. God didn't want to just promote Joseph. He wanted to promote his family as well and to preserve for them and save their lives. But as we know the story, as they came down and he recognized them, and what a moving story. It makes a perfect cinematography story. I'm sure we can imagine the pathos, the emotion, the when Joseph discovers that his brothers are standing before them. But he wanted to test him because they had left Benjamin back in Canaan, of course, Jacob didn't want to release him for fear that he would lose him as well from his favorite wife, Rachel. It's a shame that the whole story is very sad about having the wives of a favorite wife and over another wife. And we notice that the ones who actually sold him into slavery were the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, which were the second-class concubines. And so they had much reason to feel resentful and bitter about their inferior position. But nevertheless, he wanted to test their reliability. He wanted to see if their hearts had changed at all. And he spoke to them in a way, and he said in Genesis chapter 41, he said, chapter 42 said, "You're spies." He said that you've come to check out our weak points here, but he wanted to see how they started to confess before them, that they recognized that this was God's hand in dealing with them after years of concealing it from their father. The supposed death by an animal, and his abduction and his kidnapping to Egypt, so we need to bring together with us as we want to promote the visions and the dream of others. We want to help bring the others before them. In other words, if we promote someone else and see that they're advanced, it won't be at our expense. God is big enough to take care of our dream and our vision, in spite of our trying to advance the position of others in the ministry. So we have to watch that our role as a victim is not accentuated or blown out of proportion. Many of us are, say, we were born on the wrong side of the tracks. My Aunt Susie said I was the ugly duckling of the family, or my husband said I couldn't bake food, or you name it. There, each of us have a story, and where we victimize ourselves, and we retell that story over and over again. That you know, I didn't have the opportunity to study like others had, and we play this role of as a victim, and Joseph, of course, had every right to claim to he was a victim, because he was truly a victim. But yet when he retold the story to his brothers, he said, "It wasn't you who put me here in this place; it was God," and he gave God the responsibility and the credit for having brought him to the place that he was. So, again, no promotion alone. We need a trusted circle that we would help gather around us to be promoted and promoted into higher things. And I'm not just talking about promotion in ministry or promotion at work or promotion in the normal ways of speaking, but we need to move on to higher places in God's work and where he can trust us with more of his abilities to minister effectively for him. And so we need to learn how to tell the new story about our lives, not the old worn-out one that I was spanked black and blue, and therefore I have my character is warped forever, you name it, you fill in the blank space, and you all know, you've all heard stories, and you all have your own story about it's like a broken record. We come back and back over and over. But we have to realize that God is orchestrating the events in our life, that he is sovereign, that he's allowed certain things and sufferings to take place in our lives that have happened to us, and those things that are the brokenness that we've all experienced, and we're all broken vessels, that at that point, that could be the very point that we could be most useful in God's kingdom. I'm not meaning to just be a spin doctor and give a positive spin on a story, because the facts are the facts. The fact is, you did suffer as a child, or under a wife or a husband that was cruel, or such a thing. You were abused, and you can't change the facts, but we can put a positive spin in the right sense. This week we've heard an awful lot of spin in the political sphere. C.P. Livingny, the foreign minister, was criticized for standing on the fence, having not come clear about her intentions. And then when the moment she did, the press criticized her for coming out clearly for the resignation of the prime minister. So she was criticized on the one side for standing on the fence. In the next moment, she was criticized for the timing of her coming out clear to ask for the resignation of the prime minister. We've heard so many versions and spins on all the stories surrounding the events of this week. It seems like the events are enough for a year, but it's all happened this week, and enough to fill a whole month or so. But so we need to find, in spite of the facts, we need to give a positive rendition of what God is trying to do with us in that situation. In the middle, it's quite a long portion from chapter 37 to 42 on the life of Joseph. But in the middle of that section in chapter 38, there's the strange, kind of weird story of Judah Tamar and the Levirate duty that Onan abused. And here it shows the Levirate was, law was the brother of the deceased spouse was supposed to bring up children and to continue the line, the lineage of his brother. And here you see the brothers, the sons of Judah, being mean-spirited and less than generous in wanting to not promote the line of their brother heir. And so you have this kind of this opposite picture of something that I hardly understood growing up. What is this, the significance of this story of Judah? Of course, out of that line came the Messiah. We know that. He used that line. But he had, the sons of Judah had this mean spirit that they didn't want to see the line of heir continued and be blessed and be prospered because they wouldn't get any of the credit. So we have to watch that in ourselves. So from today, our role as merely a victim should be diminished. It's good to tell your story, but diminish the parts in it where you come out as the victim, as the sole one who suffered. We need to recreate life's story and show the benefits of the pain we've suffered, the ways that the Lord used that pain to help others and to bless others. Then again, we need to recast the meaning of our story and make compassionate story of those of adversaries who hurt you with understanding. If it was parents, you can tell how perhaps your father and mother suffered at the hands of your grandparents, and therefore making them brutal and unloving and uncaring and cold, or just be more understanding of the adversary's role, not excusing it, trying to absolve them of responsibility by any means, but to at least put a tone of compassion for even your adversary, and that's what Joseph was able to do as he revealed himself before his brothers and said that God was responsible. God had brought him down to Egypt, that he wasn't laying the fault on his brothers at all, but he was brought there in order to save life. And then in this new version, be careful, even as Joseph did, to present God as the hero of the story, to present him as the one to be glorified and to be honored and blessed, and so that our dreams will be fulfilled. And we all have dreams that are kind of pending or on the shelf, and I believe that God wants to restore those dreams in our hearts, and that we'll go forward with the trust that God will, if we ponder them in our heart and keep them bottled up, even as Mary did, or as Joseph, perhaps unadvisedly sharing those visions with his brothers as a lad, God was able to use both the instances to bring those dreams to fulfillment, to fruition. So we trust that God will heal those wounds, and that we can use whether it's divorce or the loss of children or some other sorrow or grief that's been in our past, we can show how God can use that to be the very point, the very focus, the very issue, or our own weakness, our own failing, our own sin in our own life, our own identity crisis, or whatever it happens to be. We can use that very weak point in order to help others move on in God and work in His power. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the life of Joseph and how you used him to spare the lives of his family and for countless thousands of people in Egypt. Lord, they were, all these people were dear to you, and you used him to with your wisdom that you gave him in interpreting the dreams, Lord, to preserve life. And Lord, we know that that's what you're all about, is to want to preserve life, both temporal and give us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Father, we want to use this life as an example for the failings and down areas in our life, Lord, of the abuse and the hurt, Lord, that we've experienced, for healing in others, and so that we might use these things to your glory and your honor. Lord, help us to not remain a victim or the rest of our lives in the poor me attitude, Lord, and that we can use that hurt to grow with, to grow in grace and grow in the glory and honor of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We bless you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord. We have these tremendous stories to encourage us and to lead us on into the deeper things of your word. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I urge anyone who's hearing, perhaps here for the first time, if they haven't accepted the one who can bring peace and healing to their hearts, to accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and receive that forgiveness, even as Jim was speaking about the shed blood on the cross, the importance of the blood covenant, that you can make that propitiation yours if you'll just come to him in humility and asking him to forgive you of your past sins, and you can be born anew and afresh.